Wow. It's good to be in the house again tonight, isn't it? On this Mother's Day evening, we're so honored that you come. I look around the crowd and man, this is a good looking Sunday night crowd. I've been in some Sunday night services. I wondered where everybody went. I mean, you couldn't find anybody. You just, Brother Randy used to say this. I remember it. He'd say, you know, Sunday night, we couldn't find our people with a search warrant. Some of y'all not act like you don't know what I'm talking about. And hey, I understand we're living in a different type day. And but the Lord has been dealing with me and speaking to my heart on trying to reach this generation. I don't know about you, but I want to reach this generation for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I still believe the book works. I still believe that the power of God still works. And God's able to do great things. Well, I preached a little bit this morning. And Brother John, I did. I'm not going to say I had a bunch. Not even going to say I had more than one. But I did have one come to me and say, boy, preacher, I wish you just went on and on and on. Hey, you can't say yay. I said to myself, at least I had one wanting me to go on. Hey, I used to think, Brother Carl, I had to have the whole bunch get it. Anymore, I'm just pulling for one to get it. That's really all that matters. Well, I want to do something a little different on this Sunday night. I really be honest, I was battling between two thoughts. And I got to spend a little time with my dad and mom, and got to spend time with my family, I was thankful about that. Some of you asked, I believe Sister Virginia asked about my wife. She woke up in the middle of the night with sore throat, and she doesn't get sick much. Matter of fact, hardly all at all, and she's not doing real good today. Matter of fact, she's on the couch right now. And that, if you know anything about my wife, the couch is the furthest thing from her mind. She's a go-getter, a worker. Matter of fact, I mean, she just works and works and works. And if you pull me to the side, I hope she's not. Is this being recorded? If you pull me to the side. I do believe that God can, and you know, you work so much, and I do believe we're living in a generation that's lazy. My wife, she doesn't spell lazy. She's really a worker, and she's not doing good. And Jessica, I want you to remember my wife Jessica tonight, that the Holy Ghost, that God would minister to her. But anyhow, I got to be with my family, and I started thinking about what I was going to do for tonight. You know, people just think, Brother Carl, they really believe this. They think that evangelists got about 3 to 5 good sermons, and he orchestrates them, and then he goes and preaches them. Hey, I want to tell you something. You believe that if you want to. But I have to obey the Lord, and I have to follow what God says. And it really doesn't matter. I mean, I used to worry about what people think. Everybody look up here. I'm over that. Because do you realize you can be sweet and people still miss it? Amen. So I want you to get what the Lord's given me recently. Look in your Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you're timing me, I really hadn't started yet. And now you can't count talking before we preach. Matter of fact, I like the school of thought that you start counting after the text is read, and then the sermon title is given, and then the prayer, and after the prayer, start timing. You're going to appreciate that if you'll do that in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. If you find 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and you get to verse 7, I'd love for you to stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I'll read these few verses in your hearing tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. He said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations there was given." Everybody say given. It's interesting. "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I'm in verse 10. "Therefore, I take pleasure." Roger, I want you to notice this. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." I got to hit the rewind button and read that last phrase. "For when I am weak, then am I strong." I need everybody to look up here. You say, "Man of God, what are you going to preach so that I can write it down so that you can't come back next year and preach the same sermon?" Well, if you take notes, here's what I'd write down. I'm preaching tonight on the ministry. On the ministry of weakness. Brother John, I got to say that again because I'm not sure they heard me. The ministry of weakness. Give me just a second of your time before I pray. Brother Carl, I've developed, I don't even know how many sermons on the ministry. I did the ministry of storms, the ministry of carrying bones. I'm working on the ministry of disappointment, the ministry of failure. Tonight I'm preaching on the ministry of weakness. And when you think about minister, and you think about a minister, would you agree some ministers are tall? Some ministers are short. Some, Brother Tom Ballard, are horizontally challenged. Now, John, I'm not picking on anybody. Matter of fact, I'm trying to lose a pound or two because I know what it is. But listen, whether you're tall, whether you have hair or you don't have hair, here's what I've learned about ministry. You can miss the message by looking at the package. I mean, you just miss the message. Because you focused on the package. You know what I've learned in ministry? Some are quiet, some are loud. And if you allow that, you know what I hear a lot? "Well, you know, Brother Derek, you're just passionate. And you just sweat, spit, kick, and holler. And I'm just not used to you." Well, you'll miss the message looking at the package. I've heard guys, Brother Carl, that never got real loud at all. Never got it. I mean, they wasn't animated. They didn't sweat. They didn't spit. They didn't kick. But they had something to say. And when they preached, the power moved. And God did great things. So I'm just telling you, do not allow the package to make you miss the message. And hey, I got good news. I'm going to make this statement. I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to pray. I got 4 points, but it's Sunday night and I love you. I'm only going to preach 3. So you can't get a better deal at Walmart. We're rolling back the price. But I'm going to give you 3 thoughts tonight on the ministry of weakness. And I'm telling you, if you'll let it, if you'll let the Holy Ghost, God's going to speak to you tonight. Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God. God, I do not want to preach long. I do not want to preach short. I just want to obey your voice. I want to be anointed. I want to help somebody. I want your presence to be evident in this place. If there's anybody lost, let this be the night that they'd walk an aisle, kneel at the foot of the cross. If there's any backslidden, that they'd rededicate. If there's any God in need of revival, I pray that you would revive the people of God. Do something on this Sunday evening that only you can do. And God, we'll give you praise and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You may be seated. The ministry of weakness. Brother Carl, when God brought me to this text, and I read this over and over again, I'm in verse 10. He says in verse 10, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Brother Tom Ballard, I looked up the little word then. You say, man of God, why would you look up the word then? Because I want you to notice this. He says, when I am weak, then am I strong. The little word then, Brother John, is an interesting word. Here's what it means in the original text. Only then. Wow. I said, what do you mean, God? Only then. He says, when I am weak, only then am I strong. Wow. Do you realize I have spent my life trying to get strong? And God is trying to teach me I need to get weak. Woo. Now, if that doesn't blow your mind, I can't blow it. Brother Tommy. And so God said, only then. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to dig around. And maybe you've walked in tonight, Brother Philip. And when I call your name, I'm really not aiming at anybody. Brother Tom, Brother Carl, I'm not aiming at nobody. But here's what I know. Maybe you walked in tonight and you said this. I'm just weak. I'm just overwhelmed. I'm worn out. I just can't get any strength. I don't understand why I'm feeling like I'm a feeling. I don't understand the factors and all the things going on in my life. Look up here so I can help you. It might be at that moment you're stronger in the presence of God than you've been in your life. Wow. Maybe you've walked in tonight and I've heard this, and before you get think I'm pointing at anybody, Derek Stennett has said this. Maybe you've walked in tonight and you say, I feel like I could take on hell with a water pistol. Let me go ahead and raise my hand. I've made that statement. You know what? It could be at that moment you're weaker spiritually than you've ever been in your life. And God begin to unroll and roll back the curtain and begin to show me and begin to pour into me. And I want to do this for you. When I am weak, the little word weak is an interesting word. Paul uses the word weak. Now here's what it means. You'll love this. The word weak there, it's talking, it has the ideal, the picture of one who falls short. One who does not measure up. Can I go ahead and raise my hand? One who falls short in his or her ability, falling short in his or her strength to carry it. But then Paul makes this statement, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It's not a contradiction. Ladies and gentlemen, the quicker we learn, we don't have the power. We don't have the ability. We don't have the strength to carry it. But is anybody glad? There's a God in heaven that can carry the load in your life. Woo! Now,
Now, we're doing good. I'm just as shocked as everybody. I mean, it's just 5:35. You say, man of God, I can't help it. I'm just looking at the clock. Here's what I do. Number one, if you take notes, I want you to jot this down. I won't preach to you for a little bit. I want you to write down the purpose of weakness. If I took notes, I'd write down the purpose of weakness. Brother Carl, why in the world, Brother Roger, why in the world would God want to zap I or you of our strength? Why would he do that? Look at verse 7. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm in verse 7. Brother Eddie, he says in verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations there was given. Now, I noticed the wording of your Bible, lest I should be exalted above measure there was given. I looked up that little word, given. I want you to know something about the Bible. If you're going to be a student of the Bible, you better study words. Now you say, man of God, what is the word given? If I took notes, I'd write this down. The word given means a rare and a precious gift. If that doesn't make you scratch your head. There was given to me. Brother Tom Ballard, it means a rare and a precious gift. And it is coming into Tom Ballard's life, into Derek Stinnett's life, when I am worn out, when I am physically exhausted. Brother Carl, when I've done everything I know to do, God says, I'm going to give you this rare and this precious gift. Everybody look up here. It's tailor-made for you. And you need this gift. You say, Derek, have you ever had some rare and precious gifts given to you? Yeah, Brother Ron, I've had some that I didn't sign up for. Rare, precious gift. And you say, Derek, I've walked in tonight and I didn't know you was going to preach at me the whole time. Hey, do you know what I'm running into? I'm running into a generation that thinks I'm preaching to everybody else. Look up here. I'm preaching to you. And you've walked in tonight and you don't need to point your finger and look at Bill and look at Bob and look at John and look at Carl. No, baby, you need to look in the mirror of your own soul and realize God's got a rare and a precious gift given to you. Now, I don't want to get hung up because I'll be here all night. God has brought this into your life as a rare and a precious gift. I got a homework assignment for you tonight. Brother John, when you go home, read 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I know it's a lot. I want you to read the first 6 verses. In those first 6 verses, Brother Carl, you and I know Paul has been up to heaven. Now, I need everybody to look up here because I don't want you looking off when I make this statement. Paul has been on the tour. He's taken the grand tour of heaven. Now here's what would make me weak. God tells Paul before he comes back down to the planet. Now, when you get back down there, don't tell anybody what you saw. Everybody look up here. If you tell a Baptist preacher that's been on the grand tour of heaven, you can't say anything when you get back. Look up here. If that doesn't flow weakness on you, I can't flow weakness on you right there. I mean, Brother Tom, could you imagine Derek and Tom getting to go into the glory world and take a tour and walk down Hallelujah Boulevard? and walk down streets of pure gold and see the splendor of all that God has created and walk around. And then God said, now don't tell anybody, Tom. Derek, keep your mouth shut. What? I can't tell anybody. No. Don't tell anybody. Brother Philip, God, Paul has been up in the presence of the Lord. And everybody look, he's been on the mountain peak. He's been on the apex. He's been in the glory world. And when he comes back down to the planet, Paul is so overwhelmed and he's so dealing with weakness. He says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. I'm so weak. I don't know if I can preach again. I don't know if I can make a difference. I'm so vulnerable and I'm so overwhelmed. Hey, would anybody agree? Here's what I'm going to tell you. You're not going to like. Weakness is long-winded. You just think Derek preaches a long time. Brother Tommy, weakness is long-winded. Derek, have you battled anything in your life? I want you to listen to me. Paul's been up there and he comes back down and God says, don't say a word. And hey, listen, would you agree with the man of God? Paul's not some Johnny come lately. Hey, he's wrote 16 books in the New Testament. Hey, half of the New Testament, Paul is the writer of. Now, I know God breathed on him and I know God gave it to him. But I want to tell you, hey, would you agree? He's in the presence of the King. Brother Philip, he comes back. Brother Roger, he comes back to planet Earth and he's overwhelmed. And God said, I gave you this rare and this precious gift. Now, I gotta hurry just a tad. Now, there are some Bible characters that said some things about weakness I want to give you before I go to my second point. Now, I hate to tell y'all this. I shouldn't even tell you. But Sister Sue, my first point, it's normally my longest point. That went over pretty good, I think. Hear this. When Bible characters dealt with weakness, Brother Tommy, they said things like this. Brother Bill, they said things like this. Peter said, you can read this tonight when you get home. Peter said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to you, watch this, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Hey, can I put the jelly on the bottom shelf? Peter said, when the fiery trial and the fiery trouble knocks at your door, don't go to the door and say, you're a stranger. No. He said, think it not strange. Here's what Peter's telling you. He said, you need to go to the door when the fiery trial knocks at your door. And you need to go to the door and say, I've been expecting you. I just knew you were coming all the time. Think it not strange. If you agree with that, would you shout amen? Now let's dig a little deeper. What about Job? Job was dealing with weakness and Job was talking about weakness and Job said this, Brother John. I love Job. Job said, man born of woman is few days and full of trouble. Man of God, how am I going to know if trouble is going to come to my house? Okay, I got something to tell you. I want you to go home tonight and look at your birth certificate. And if your mama was a woman, you're going to have some trouble. And how many know? We all know your mama was a woman. man born of woman is few days and full of trouble. Hey, and I'm going to talk to you. Hey, you know what you need to do? Some's walked in and some of us got bad backgrounds. Some of us was raised in broken homes. Some of us was raised in the hell. And some of us got hurts and pains and we cried at night and we wept and we wondered. But here's what I come by to tell you. Ladies and gentlemen, what you need to do is you need to know trouble's coming to the good folk and the bad folk. Trouble's coming to the just and the unjust. And you just need to embrace where you are and put your faith and confidence in God, because God can handle what's going on in your world. Woo! Now, the purpose of weakness. Man, I got you ever gonna show us the purpose? Yep. I'm going to do right here. I'm going to make this statement and I'm going to dig out something maybe you've never thought of. Maybe have. But here's what it is. And I'm going to go ahead. Brother Carl, I hate to be guilty of all these. Have you ever heard this statement? And I've said it, so you don't have to raise your hand. Brother Tom, you don't have to raise your hand. Have you ever heard this statement since you've been in Christianity, since you've been saved? God will not put more on you than you can bear. If you've heard that, can I see your hand raised? Oh yeah. Look up here so I can help you. I've even preached it. Oh, they'll shout sideways, boys. I mean, they'll throw songbooks and say hallelujah and wave hankies. How do you know? Because I preached them happy, boy. God won't put more on. God will not put more on you. God will not put more on you than you can bear. Man, it just sounds spiritual. I mean, you just say it a few times and you feel good. Ain't no Bible to it. Boy, it sounds good. Hey, and you're laughing, but I want to tell you something. Do you realize we preach a lot of messages didn't have nothing to do with the Bible? Oh, I'm glad I'm the evangelist, boys. I mean, looking from here, it looks real good. I mean, we made some stupid statements. Brother John, let me go ahead and raise my... I've said some stupid stuff. Now, I know y'all can tell how eloquent I am tonight. But I still say some stuff. I wonder where I got that. Amen. But Brother Carl, I want to show us, Brother Tom, I'm going to show us where we get that statement. I want you to turn in your Bible. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Brother Roger, I'm going to read one verse, verse 13. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to show you where we got that statement. Where God won't put more on you than you can bear. God won't put more on you than you can bear. Here's where we got it. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Let me read it to you. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Brother Bill Rogers, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Everybody look up here. Do you realize that's talking about temptation? That's not talking about trouble. Brother Philip, there is a difference between temptation and trouble. If you agree with that original statement, shout amen. Amen. So, Brother Carl, he said he would not put more on us than we could be able to bear. But the word temptation, I leave that up there. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Leave that. Here's what you need to know about temptation. Temptation is a solicitation from the enemy to do evil. Brother Tommy, it is a solicitation from the devil to do evil. But God said he would make it possible for you to say no to the temptation. Now, you know as well as I do, everybody's not saying no. I've never seen the epidemic of extramarital affairs. Shout amen, somebody. Amen. But God's Bible is still true. No matter how many affairs occur, no matter how many sins go on inside the local confines of the house of God, God said he would give you the ability. God said he would give you the power to resist, for you to say no to the temptation. Is anybody glad on a Sunday night there's power to overcome temptation? There's power to overcome the works of the flesh. Now, I'm wading out in the water, and we got to dig around a little bit. So temptation is a solicitation to do evil. And the devil is always coming, and he's always sending evil, and he's always tempted. But there, Brother Carl, is the difference in temptation and trouble. Let me dig out a little more. Go to 2 Corinthians. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I just want you to pull up verse 8 and leave that if you don't mind. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm in verse 8. Again, there is a difference between temptation and trouble. Look at this with me. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. Everybody say trouble. Which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. Leave that up on the screen. We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even our life. Brother Roger, let me put the jelly on the bottom shelf. Trouble is difficulty, weakness, sorrow. And he said, pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch we despaired even of our life. Brother Tom, can I just tell you what the Apostle Paul was saying there? Paul said this, I was flattened beyond strength. Paul was saying, if I took notes, I'd write this. Paul was saying, he put so much on me, I didn't think I could bear it. Now, I shouldn't ask this, but I'm going to. Anybody ever had so much trouble and so much, you didn't think you could make it? Brother Tom Ballard. And then he said, I was flattened beyond strength. And then God put so much on me, I didn't think I could bear it. Then he made we just scratch our head. And then he said, I even despaired even of life. Look up here so I can help you. You know what Paul said? I thought I would have died. Ron, 3 or 4 years ago, I was going through some of the darkest days of my life. I stood in this pulpit, probably weighed about 180. Boys, we hadn't seen that in a while. Stood up here and acted like I had it all going on. And when nobody was looking, Carl, I told my own family, I told my own daddy, I told my own mama, I told my own sister, and our family's big on words. And I said to my dad, I said, Dad, I'd rather die. You say, Derek, you're full of life. I mean, you just animated. You're so excited. And you look like you're always happy. And you look like you, look up here, weakness had came. And it stayed too long. And I become vulnerable in everything I tried to do. And everything I tried to do, I couldn't understand it. I was flattened beyond strength. I felt like he put more on me than I could bear. And I thought I would die. I thought I would die. And you say, Derek, that's where I am tonight. Can I tell you, God's got a purpose for the weakness. Hey, pull up verse 9. I've been holding verse 9. I've been holding it. The next verse, verse 9. 2 Corinthians, yeah. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. I don't know how y'all could stay so calm. You're doing way better than I could. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Everybody look up here. Can, Sister Sue, can I tell you what God is saying right there? God said, I brought weakness in your life so that you wouldn't trust in your stinking self. I sent weakness, Philip, into your life so you wouldn't trust in your ability, your intellect, your supernatural strength, your ability to figure it out. Look up here so I can help you. You're not strong enough. You're not smart enough. You're not bad enough. But there's a God in heaven that wants you to put your trust in Him. Woo! That's the purpose of weakness. Why? Why does He send it? Why does He send it? So that I will not trust myself. Now, I don't know. I don't know. I'm nervous. I'm nervous about this. I'm nervous. I don't get nervous a lot, but I'm nervous about what I'm about to say. I'm nervous. I try to preach today to a world and a generation that if they got their phones, there ain't no sense in trying to preach. You're not even trying to talk to them at lunch. You know what I tell my outfit? You do what you want to. I don't care what you do. I tell you what I do. Put your phone down. I paid the bill, and as long as I pay the bill, them baby boys is going to be up underneath the table, left in your room. I'm preaching way better than your amening right now. Yeah. Hold up, Brother John. Hold up. They got this thing today. Maybe you're familiar, maybe you're not. Please don't act. Please like don't act either way because I don't want to know. They got this deal today, Brother Roger, they call a selfie. Everybody look up here. I cannot imagine Paul after saying I was flattened beyond strength. I thought I was going to die. I can't imagine Paul getting his iPhone out and pooching out his lips and... I don't think Paul would have done it. No. Everybody look up here. Everybody look up here. I said I was nervous. Let me say something about that. You do know why they call it a selfie, don't you? Because they can't spell narcissistic. Woo! Woo! You say, man of God, I can hear somebody, I don't know what narcissistic means. Look up here. I'll break down narcissistic. Ate up with yourself. Ate up with yourself. Have you noticed we don't have Time Magazine people? Now it's Self Magazine. I and you and me. I mean, we even got a bar. I mean, we even got something we can hold up so we can take another picture. God help us. Look up here. I don't mind pictures. They asked me, I mean, my family's, I mean, they want, I mean, we took a picture today. And look, ain't nothing wrong with pictures. Nothing wrong. I'm not, please don't leave and say, and man of God said, we can't never take a picture. No. But don't always make everything about you. Life is bigger than you. Why does He send weakness, Brother Carl? So that I won't trust in my stinking self. But that I'll trust in Christ alone. I'm going to tell you something. Listen, you don't believe this. Brother Tommy, I'm telling you, I could stop right now and I preach tonight. There's the purpose of weakness. I love you enough. I'm going to give you my... I'm going to dig a little more. I mean, I dug a while. And I want you to write this down. I'm on my second point. I want to give you the principle. I gave you number one, the purpose of weakness. Number two, I'm going to give you the principle of weakness. I'm in 2 Corinthians. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm in verse 8. And I'll highlight a few thoughts and then I'll go... He says in verse 8, I'm in 2 Corinthians 12, 8. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Brother Carl, I never noticed this. Paul is ate up with weakness. And he's missing the message because he's looking at the package. Now, I can already hear somebody say, well, I cannot believe you are critical of the Apostle Paul. I'm not critical. I'm just telling you, Paul, as godly as he was, as anointed as he was, he battled stuff just like we do. And John, I don't know how you're built. I need to know I'm not the only one struggling. And Liz, Marlene, Virginia, when trouble comes and weakness comes, there is the purpose of weakness, and then there is the principle. He said, watch Paul. Paul said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Go to verse 9. And I want to show you something. I want to show you something. And he said unto me, God said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Let's pause right there. Paul asked the Lord three times, Tom Ballard. He said it again and again and again. And he said it three. He said, let it depart from me. And God said, my grace is sufficient. Let me tell you what God said to Paul. Paul, I heard you the first time. But you need to know, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. If I wasn't so dignified, I'd take a lap. I mean, it'd make you nervous, but I ought to take a lap. I'm not going to, because I'm way too dignified for that. But he says this, and I love it. Brother Carl, sometimes we Christians, and I throw me and you in it, we Christians get to thinking that grace is only salvation. Grace is way bigger than salvation. Roger, if grace was just salvation, we're all in trouble. I'm going to shock all y'all. I need grace today. I need grace in the morning. I need grace the next day. And I need grace every day of my life. I need grace. And the word, he said, my grace is sufficient. When I studied that, here's all that means. Here's what God is saying to Paul. Paul, my grace is sufficient. It's more, I love this, it's more than enough. If you agree, shout amen. My grace is sufficient for thee. When I studied it, here's what I found out. Grace, and I'd write this down, grace and God's strength. God's grace and God's strength is this, Brother John. It is the ability to do it. The ability to carry it. The ability to be it. And the ability to understand it. Can I go ahead and tell you, you didn't get that on your own. That's God's grace and God's strength is the ability to understand it. Because I'm going to tell you something. There's things in my life, in my flesh, I can't understand. You realize there's stuff in my life, if I'm going to be honest, Tom Ballard, I still scratch my head, and there's things in my life I don't understand, and I don't understand why, but God says, Derek, my grace is sufficient for thee. I am enough for thee. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, for you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor. Amen. That you through his poverty might be made rich. Go back to verse 10. When I am weak, I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. He said, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Can I tell you things in the Bible, Brother Carl, don't make sense? Hold up. Y'all wrote me off because that didn't sound spiritual. Stuff in that Bible don't make sense. Matter of fact, we look through a glass darkly. Hey, listen to me. I'll prove to you. Everything I think physically in the glory world is different than the physical world. Brother Roger, let me highlight that for you and put quotation marks around it. The closer I try to get to God, so that, Tom, I can get stronger, the closer I try to get to God, and the more I spend time with Him, and the more I try to get stronger in Him, the weaker and the weaker I get in myself. I'm trying to get strong. God's making me weak. Wow. What about this one? What about this one? You've heard this. I mean, have you heard this since you've been saved? We preachers are notorious for it. I want to climb the ladder. God says you got to come down the ladder. Don't that knock you out in the creek? I want to be successful. John, God says you got to be a failure. What about this one? I hear my kids, my daughter's married now, but I heard her, and she didn't say it a lot to me, but I mean, you know, and I thought this, and I'm sure you thought it when you were younger. Do you remember this? I mean, my daddy and mama raised me right, taught me right, brought me up in church, but do you remember this? You'd say stuff like this. I can't wait to get out of the house so I can live a little. I can just live a little. Look over here. Then you read the Bible, and God said, in order to live, you got to die. The only way to live is to die. I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. Not I that liveth, but Christ liveth in me. If you agree with the man of God, shout amen. Now, y'all have been gracious to me. I'm still in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to go back to verse 9, and I'm going to stay there for a moment of time. And I'm going to give you my third point. And everybody look up here. I'm telling you, if you look at that clock, and I know it's probably wrong, but it's just 10 after 6. I love that clock. Comes in handy about this time of year every time I come. That baby boy helps me. There is the purpose of weakness. There is the principle of weakness. Here's what I want you to write down. Number 3. I'm not going to preach my fourth point, but I'm going to give you my third point. The perfecting of weakness. Let me highlight it for you. I'm in verse 9. Yeah, I love that. Leave that up there for me. She does a bang up job. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength. Whose strength? Not mine. God's. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Brother Carl, the perfecting of weakness is this, and I think you'll agree. God's strength can help me and you lift it, carry it. Brother Philip, only God can carry that. You have to learn to help tap into Him to help lift the loads in your life. You agree? And I wrote this down in my notes, and somebody needs to write it down. If God is the one that gives me the energy, and it is God's strength, and it is God's ability, and it is made perfect in weakness, my strength, God's strength is available for me. But the only way, Brother Tom Ballard, God's strength is available to me is I have to get rid of my hoarded resources. I don't have cable. I still have a TV. But they tell me they got this show called Hoarders. And they pack stuff in. I mean, they don't throw nothing away. Everybody look up here. Don't come to my house. I throw everything away. Hey, if it's laid around and it's not put up, it's going to the trash. unless it's my stuff. Don't throw my stuff away. Because that's important. And yet they leave stuff around and it just looks like trash or gets blown on the floor. Guess what I do? Because I just love throwing stuff away. Because I'm the trash guy. I take it out. I'm the one that deals with the trash. But listen, God said to me, Brother Carl, he said, if you're going to have me lift it and I'm going to carry it and I'm going to do it and I'm going to be your strength and I'm going to be the one that sustains you, you have to get rid of your hoarded resources. Wow. That's good. That helps me. Now, I wrote this down and I told you I'd be brief. So I see the lifting of it. Then he says, I'm still in verse 9. He says, and I promise you I'm going to be quick. Then he said, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory. Everybody say glory. Glory. The word glory is interesting to me. The word glory is a very neat word, Brother John. It's dealing with the sun and the moon. Everybody, let me break that down for you. Look up here so I can help you. The moon is dark. The moon just reflects the light of the sun. Dear God, what's the perfecting of weakness? God is the one lifting. And then God said, Derek, but the word glory is dealing with the sun and the moon. The sun is the greater light. The moon has no light, but the moon reflects the light of the sun. He said, Derek, the reason, my God, I feel this. He said, the reason I send weakness into your life is so that you will reflect my sun, so that they can see Jesus in you. Whoa! You want to impact this culture. You want to impact this society. You want to impact your school. You want to impact your work. You want to impact your family, your wife, your husband, your children. Then let the love of God and the power of God express through your life, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you do business. Let God reflect in you. If you agree, shout amen. Amen. So I see the lifting. I see the reflecting. I'm gonna blow your mind. I'm still here. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Says, pull up verse 10. And I close. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm in verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure. Brother Carl, I don't know how you read it. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. If you don't mind, leave that there. I wrote this down. I said, okay, God, there's the lifting, there's the reflecting, and then there's the enjoying it. He said, I take pleasure. Brother Tommy, I asked the Lord, I said, God, how could he take pleasure? I said, because God, when I read the verse, it said, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress. And then he said, but Derek, watch the last phrase, for Christ's sake. Look up here. He's not glorying in the persecutions, in the distresses. He's glorying in who sent it. Because I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I don't like it. But I can tell you, I like who sent it. Because he's my king. If I took notes, I'd write this down. I close. I'm done. I will give you the last point. I'm not going to preach it, but I will give it. Lastly, there's the production of weakness. I don't have time. I could spend another 30 minutes, but you've been too gracious. I love you too much. It's Sunday night, so I'm going to do this for you. I'm closing right here. Here's what I learned. By the time, here's what I learned. God is more interested. Let me get down. Can I get down here and look you in the eye? God is more interested and not taking me out of the trouble, but he's interested in helping me in the trouble. I've always thought, John, that when I holler and when I pray, God's going to rush down and pull me out of the dilemma and pull me out of the trouble. But Roger, what I've learned is God's not near as interested in getting me out of it as he's as interested in helping me in it. You know what that'll do, Bill? That'll free you up. Because I don't worry about getting out anymore. I know the God that said, let there be light, is going to help me. He's going to be there for me. He's going to hold my hand when the thunder is roaring and the lightning is flashing and the trouble is on the right side, left side, in front of me, behind me. God is going to help me in the trouble. Amen. Woo. Now, I love you and I want you to stand. I want you to stand all over the room. The ministry of weakness. The ministry of weakness. Sis, would you come? Every head bowed, every eye closed.